For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Essentially, this is my eulogy to play as rep. And I said that kind of last time we was on the post because it's not, I did everything I said I was going to do. But yet, there's so much nonsense and literally, and again, I hate to use those words that everybody throws around, but buffoonery going on amongst ourselves to distract really what's happening. I continue to speak about daily as the world changes. That's why when you spoke to me earlier about going live and I talked about IP, about you really understand how this really works and how it's going to go going forward. If you don't protect and capture yours, it's going to be taken. It's going to be sold. It can be turned off. It can be. I've been getting my social media content like submersed for years. I mean, like basically suppressed, but it's not my platform. Twitter's not mine. I understand that. Facebook's not mine. I understand that. None of those are mine. I do have mine. That's why I built mine the way it is. So people see only got a couple hundred followers. I changed the world. And that's what I'm going to speak to today, that without me, none of these people getting checks at all. Deion ain't coaching in Colorado because those things are transfer portal. All that ties back to me and what I've been doing. So when I say things publicly, purposefully to at POTUS or at Coach Past Your Prime, none of them say nothing back to me. And I did that on purpose before lining this up because I said to you before, there's always somebody that got something to say unless you understand who you're dealing with. And then at the end of the day, based off of you just did a simple scroll down, you can step in if you want to. All these guys out there that got these public platforms so comfortable in their skin saying certain things in a certain way. We'll speak about a lot of them. I'm naming names. But like I told you on your podcast a long time ago, 20 minutes publicly, me and them, their careers are over. Everything that they were doing is not tangible. They're not intelligible enough. And that includes Deion Sanders, that includes Stephen A. Smith, that includes Ryan Clark, that every single person. White people included, Travis, Clay, all of them. And the reality is, so all the people right now that are jumping up and down, and I shared with you earlier purposely to give you the Barbara Walters push, meaning I'm literally lining you up with some of these things I put on Twitter, specifically you as a employee and a small business owner, also former athlete, professional athlete, that the bloodline of this country, despite talking about illegal aliens and all this other stuff, that at the end of the day, a block of 17 to 22 to 23-year-old predominantly minorities are being told by the population at large to not become employees and pay taxes when that's what this country is built upon.
Yeah.
Literally talking about something that don't exist. So if you say NIL for athlete, you going back to the three-fifths of a human being. I refuse to let you get put in a situation talking about working. Like, what are we teaching? Professional, personal, athletic, and professional development. It's what I've done. So all the things that I've done across the board, representation-wise, content-wise, development-wise, education-wise, nobody in this industry has done what I've done. They have no starting to work, no nothing, but they stay talking. I mentioned them names too. Darren Heighton is the mid-witness of the world, the 1-3s. All these people just talking. But I'm showing you. And then the reality is when I'm pointing to these certain things, no one that's in media, no one's in the public eye, no one that's in politics, no one that's in the private employment sector say, oh, he's wrong about that. As I said, owners negotiate with the league in the scenario. Athletes now have to negotiate directly with the teams. Mm-hmm. So from a business standpoint, they're getting employees. So again, they're their employee, but now their representation is also their own ownership. So, oh, you mean? Oh, but did I not bring Rashawn Gary as the first player ever in sports history as his own age representation, age, his own ownership group, people underneath him from business sense? People talking NIL. Now, this is what this is about. This is about control and it's about diminishing your value. And a collective, if it's 10,000 of us under one roof, that's 10,000 pieces of pie to be cut. Business that makes zero sense. The same, we're going to sign a uniform thing for. So if me being an A2 guy versus you, Ball Hawk, we got to split the same revenue. If you're a business owner smart about who you are, what you built at your platform, Petty Hawk, you should be pissed that somebody's laid to lock you into something that's diminishing your value. This is the modern day version of indentured servitude through SEO, through algorithms, through clicking on links. This is what it's all about. That's why Saudi Arabia paid $2.3 billion for IMG Academy, only to have all the little soccer girls come out there with their moms and their coffees. Give me an email address. I'll give you a plastic trophy. You are on LinkedIn right now. Don't you see LinkedIn talking about, and I'm going to reiterate all this stuff live, but I want to give you a preset so you can basically know where to lead these questions. They ask you, oh, you know, you want a digital badge. But I talked about this years ago on your podcast about the freaking stars. They don't exist. Yeah. And the helmet stickers for ACL and risk management. Now, from micro machine learning, term influencer, hey, Ahmad, tell us about how you feel about these certain things pertaining to whatever the topic may be. You say that back to LinkedIn, they give you a sticker. You just tag yourself like a branded digital slave that you just gave us your IP, your intellectual property. It's like a digital version, small order of Shark Tank. Oh, tell us your ideas. Well, we don't like that. The moment they get up on air, they call it, hey, for the R&D department. Like, yeah, let's go start this from there. Check your, make sure you patent that, this and this and that. This is what's happening in real time as well. And while we sit here talking about comedy beef, we are literally being lined up that anything outside of what basically we're told to do, how we're told to do it, we have no ownership. No development whatsoever. So that's what pre-posting was. There's no such thing as NIL. That's why I said it ain't going to be no, oh, Congress stepping in. I said that to you too. Publicly. Yep. I said it years ago. Oh, they ain't going to do nothing. And I said it at whoever you want. You're not going to tell me nothing. You're not going to say, oh, all these guys talking about registering for agencies. Ahmad, I've been doing this for three administrations. And I ain't changed one thing in my business model. Not Trump, not Biden, not Obama. And I ain't going to. But guess what else changed? Guess what changed their business model? NCAA, NFL, everybody changed to try to adapt to call NIL was pre-post game. So I'm the plug. And in reality, as I said before, now that I did everything I said I was going to do, there's nothing else to do. People need to get out their own way. But like I said, it's about me this time around. I let purposely try to help everybody elevate them to be what they needed to be. And a lot of people literally still wanted to be ignorant about all these things. They want to get a bag, don't know what a bag is, understand taxes. Like I said, you don't want to be an employee. You don't want to start a business. You want somebody to give you something to realize you got to pay the government for that. Mind you, they are basically using you as an expense without providing any value. So that's why the IRS says collectors can't get the 501c3 because the bottom line is, what are you providing? Well, what does pre-post provide? Personal, athletic, business, professional development, transition planning, IP protections, brand development, negotiation, on and on and on and on. It's not a person in this industry or any representation can do what I do. Not close. And that's why I said before, it's time where the people that are claiming to be, once this is what it is. This is for, you know, preservation. When I'm gone, my AI is still talking. But it needs to be understood because what's going to happen in 5 years from now, as I said, there won't be no NIL, won't be no collectives. You'll be employees. You'll understand what that means. In Virginia, you are a business owner. You know that Virginia now is pushing, if you have over 25 employees, you got to do a pension plan for retirement. That's based off my work. When I said sports trafficking is real, I explained to people that all the people that represent these athletes getting money are not in their best interests. So when you really influence something, all of a sudden they say, hey, pre-post game, you can't operate anymore with Devin Willock in Georgia. You can't represent the number one youth Fox soccer player in the world. You can't represent the number one recruit ever. You can't do that. Who gonna tell me that? And who business I won't own once they finish telling me that? So as I said before, this ain't gonna be for the faint of heart. Some of your friends probably gonna get dragged. It's okay. I'm in black.
Hey man, you gotta speak your truth. You all right?
No, that's the point. And that's why I said before, I can't really afford anymore to go back and pretend like we're not in some serious situation. That's why I said before, you're a business owner, you're an employee. So you understand what that is. So why in the world would someone out there say, again, all these guys are saying they want to represent, advocate for athletes. Why none of the pro athletes work with none of these NIL collectives? Why, if they represent the best interests of the athlete, why are they not doing it? Why is it all of a sudden now, was none of these lawyers black or white around when I represented the kids in Iowa? Only popped up when their money is now involved. Where was those same advocates again? Like I said, we ain't talk. NIL was established, as they say, they call it July, 1st, 2021? I was on ESPN 2019 telling them what's going to happen. And I told you in your class how all these coaches are going to get up and run up out of here. Including Nick Saban.
Yep. Yeah,
I need to all over again. So I'm here. Mark Emery is gone. Nick Saban is gone. I want everybody to know it's because of me. But like it or not, I don't give a damn.
All right, so we go look. I'm glad you know, that's how you started off without an intro. But we're gonna get to the intro, we're gonna start it off. And hey man, it's an open it?
That's some good stuff. You recorded it? I was rolling.
No, that's recorded.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
You know, the new style you give, like you did it perfect. Hey. You gave them a gist of what you're gonna say before the intro. So that's how we're gonna lead into the intro right now, and we're gonna get it going. And
We're drinking water over here. Water.
Let's go. Well, we're gonna get it started right now. Let's go. What up, though? As you can see, man, this is a special edition of the Ball Show podcast. It's the one-on-one. It's like the Amar Rashad with Michael Jordan type interviews. You know, get back in my one-on-one bag. So today's guest is somebody who's been a part of the Ball Hawk Show podcast journey from Podbean to Blog Talk Radio, now on Believe Network. Got my man Robert T. Green, pre-post game, the players rep. You know, a guy that comes from the Arena Football League like myself, but was ahead of the game. I always say he's always ahead of the game, man. He's going to say some things to folks that he's been in my Twitter spaces and people thought he was crazy, you know, lack of better words. People always say somebody crazy when they say something that hasn't taken place yet or it's in the minority, even though it's making a lot of sense. But this gentleman right here, I'm gonna let him say all the groundbreaking things he's done. But when I tell you, if he come on your platform, he say something, it happens. Years ago, he said, when nobody else said it, Baker Mayfield is gonna be the number one pick in the NFL draft. And they laughed at him. Ain't no way. And what happened that night? Baker Mayfield was number one. He was going at Nick Saban for years. I'm telling you, Nick Saban going to get up out of here, Ball Hawk. What? Nick winning all these? All right. Lo and behold, what happened? Nick Saban. Deion, what you call him, past your prime? Coach, past your prime?
Past his prime.
You know, he had questions about him. Deion moves on and goes to Colorado. So without further ado, got my man Robert T. Green. We're going to talk about the elephant in the room, NIL, because a lot of people don't understand what NIL is. And this is an individual that is a very good resource for myself of better understanding the truth behind NIL, not just NIL and the collectives, but the truth behind NILs. What's going on with you, Rob?
Man, it's a pleasure to be on your show. As you mentioned earlier, I've been here since the beginning, watched you start to build your brand, create your transition, coming from a great arena football player where obviously when it comes to us, our careers are shorter in a sense of the compensation standpoint, but not necessarily the length of it. So when we have to go into the offseason, understanding what we got to do next to take care of our family, to develop further, understanding how much we missed when we were sitting in the rooms or generating revenue for other people, those interns getting those jobs we wanted, we were no longer playing. Just watching you how I've been able to grow and progress, it's really been a pleasure to watch. And I'm proud of all your successes, and I know you can do great things even more going forward.
Appreciate it, man. So before, you know, like I said, you've been on the platform a lot of times. So I want to be fair to folks who maybe this is their first time, you know, coming on the show or learning about you. Maybe they've been around since the Twitter spaces and the czars and all those guys just talking trash. But if you just give them a background of who Robert T. Green is, basically not the Robert T. Green we see today, but share your background as far as playing, like you playing arena football just like I did. So let them know about your playing career.
Right. And before I get to that, but how sad is that no one still knows my name right now? And that's what I came on to do wearing black. Simply because, again, what I've been able to accomplish on and off the field, over the last 25, 35 years across the board, to not be known in a sense by certain people in certain ways. When you're actually the either the forefather or the one that created certain things, it's a humbling feeling, but it's also a situation where now the time has come that people understand. And I set the record straight specifically thinking of Rob T. Green. So me, I come from Long Island, New York, come from a broken home. Like I said, a lot of athletes that come from certain minorities and certain hood situations, which I came from, I was homeless at 16 years old. Thought the only way I could make it out of where I was at was either playing a sport or becoming a rapper. I can't rap. I got no game, none of that. So, but I was always a hardworking guy. I wanted to basically be successful, and I didn't want to see myself in them like a lot of the peers around me and also my family members. Full disclosure, I tell everybody, my dad had me when he was 44. My mother was 19. So there was no relationship, no father figure in the home. That basically once I became 10 years old, that man was 54 years old. He had no attention throwing a football with me, talking to me about life skills and that nature. So basically, I grew up in the streets, watching my surroundings, watching how people, depending on how the sun went up and went down, they changed. And it always bothered me because I said before, like, it was just like yesterday, you were like a nice guy, you was a friendly guy, and all of a sudden you're a gang member the next day. And I never respected that. I never respected anybody that basically essentially couldn't be who they was when no one else was looking. And so for me, essentially, I made a promise to myself to work as hard as I possibly can to get myself out of those certain situations. Fast forward, I went to a junior college, Nassau Community College. At that time, we were ranked number 10 in the country as a whole for the decade, but we was actually highest ranked number 3. And essentially, I was ranked number 3 myself as a JUCO corner. However, during that time, when I was trying to get a Division I scholarship as a 6'1", 200-pound corner, I'm extremely fast, legit 4'4". Where I come from, in a lot of areas, people don't want to see you succeed. Some things you see in a movie. So I'm going to educate your audience on things they may know or understand. It's like watching a Tubi movie. So yeah, here we go.
Yeah.
Robert T. Green, he think he all that. He about to go this and do that. We don't want to see that happen. Long story short, I got jumped, shot 5 times, stabbed across the eye, the temple. 2 bullets still in my leg right now. I have 4 in my leg. Doctors told me, 3 of them told me I'd never play sports again. At that time, I was depressed, thought my life was over, didn't know what I was going to do with myself. There was no one to turn to. And I simply said a prayer to myself. I said, God, if you allow me to play football, I promise to be the best version of myself the rest of my life. But this is the key. At that point, I didn't know what that was. I didn't know what the best version of myself was. No one ever gave me the tools, the understanding, the knowledge, what I was capable of outside of me playing the game. But being told I couldn't play anymore, what I did know was I was extremely hardworking and I was extremely attentive to detail. So it's essentially anything that went on around me, I was able to observe, to comprehend, and basically make a decision, a decisive decision in real time. And so essentially I was able to play. I went to play at the University of Massachusetts for about a year and ended up going to HBCU. But in all those different areas, what I just said about the entire process, that it was all business. I was told what I wanted to hear, not what I needed to know. And all those things that I was told that I wanted to hear did not come to fruition. Essentially, they were all lies. Basically, and again, I started to ask myself, what decision did I ever make in life that was my own? And I ask athletes this all the time. I know the answer to the question already, which made me become the player's rep. Essentially, that most of us don't make any decisions on our own. Essentially, we become 20 plus years old. And whether they know it or not, they go back and think about when they did make a decision, was it really your decision? Or was someone who basically told you it was the best decision for you? And then when you go full circle, you come to find out I'm right back where I am right now. But who is there when you back where you started? Who is there to support you, help you move forward from there? What you find most people are not. So fast forward through that, I get to arena football. I played 8 years throughout the country, not because I sucked. Essentially, I wanted to at one point coach when I no longer played. And so what I ended up doing was went from city to city, team to team. I was watching how GMs operate. I was watching how medical trainers operate. I was watching how workers' comp worked. I was watching how the owners ran the building, because essentially being a coach, I wanted to give myself the best opportunity through the interview process to be able to get the job. After doing all that, watching how some of these coaches operated, I became one, came to understand that a lot of these coaches are not who they say they were. They basically, again, tell you what you want to hear, not what you need to know. Knowing that all these guys, all they want to do is be great. All they want to do is maximize their opportunity as an athlete, but yet still have no clue who they are, not what they're going to do after the fact. So whether it comes to finance, whether it comes to transition, whether it comes to fatherhood, whether it comes to being a good professional, they were like infantile in their mindset and also how they go about doing things. And then when it comes to the influence of social media or television, a lot of people that are glorified at the highest level are not who they post or who they pose to be. So it really got me to the point where I needed to separate myself from everybody, to take this task on as what I became the players rep, to essentially set the record straight and give the right perspective in personal, athletic, business, professional development across the board. And that's what we are today. And so essentially after 10 years as a professional in this space, as a representative, as an advocate, PR, media relations, negotiator, transition, and everything else, innovation through whatever field you want to talk about, my time in this space is essentially coming to an end simply because I did everything I said I was going to do. I didn't ask for permission. And as I said before, I've been here through three presidential administrations. My business model had changed one time. So I was doing this when Barack Obama was here. I was doing this through the Trump administration, and I was doing this through the Biden administration. So when I say NIL does not exist, it doesn't. But personal, athletic, business, professional development, and ownership does.
Hey, so if I could go back. So first of all, what did you major in when you was in college?
Psychology and sociology.
Sociology?
And psychology.
And psychology. All right. So, because I want to make sure, you know, young people when they listen to this. So, because I remember when I was on my last leg of playing arena football, I had no idea what I really wanted to do. Like, I had an idea. Like, I wanted to be in media and talk about football and sports. But how did you, because the transition you made is not something that somebody could just jump into, like going to business like you did for yourself. So take me to that journey, starting the pre-post game business, right, and the business model and learning how to negotiate and lead the youth to the next level.
Right. So when I did retire, I first started off, I was working in at-risk youth facilities. Okay. I was working with intellectual development disabilities facilities. I was also in leadership. I was also working with help write IEPs, individual educational plans. Yep. And I remember, I won't forget it, I was working in the Easter Seals where it was a doctor with a PhD and things of that nature. And we had this really troubled youth. And essentially, you know, he would put people on workers' comp, like physically, like hurt them. People were scared to work with him. And then essentially they would call me in to come work with him as one-on-one. And then I was able to work with him and not have the issues that everybody else was having. And they brought me into a roundtable one day with 13 doctors, case clinicians and everything else. And they asked me, well, how do you get him to listen? I said, basically, I meet him where he's at. Mm. I set the expectations. I talked about what he wants to accomplish and how to help him understand to get that way. I didn't dictate to him. I gave him choices and options and explained to him clearly what the results are going to be based off his actions and how far he could go and not go based off those certain things. And then I asked him how he feel about those things when essentially, if he didn't do it the right way, what was the result? Even with that, as a highly medicated, a highly aggressive young man, basically simply saying, like, you know what? He understood I was there to help him, that I didn't want to put my hands on him. I didn't want to defend myself against him. I didn't want to be combative against him. I simply wanted to understand where he was coming from and meet him where he was. That allowed me to go on to basically become supervising a lot of units and scenarios and give people directions on how to go about dealing with certain people, suggestions of that nature. And then, like I said, as I went forward in that, I became a director of residential services for certain other facilities with people with, like I said, disabilities or that intellectual disabilities or essentially this day-to-day job placement and employment. And then what happened was while I was going through that, I kept getting calls now by former teammates at 27 years old asking me for advice and direction based on things that I spoke to them about when they were 21, 22. Some guys in the NFL, some guys prominent, some guys in arena league. And essentially, all their response was back to me. I said, I thought I spoke to you about this before. And they said, but yeah, but my agent said. I said, hold up. Your agent said. First of all, who was your agent? I was again talking about name, image, and likeness. There were those words and terms that were thrown out, like coach, like agent, that you were giving up your actual ability to have critical thinking about processing the situation without no reason whatsoever else because somebody said it on TV and someone else again directed you to do something that they said was best for you, unbeknown to you. So after that continued to happen over and over and over, and again, I've always been a stand-up guy. I stand on what I say. When people talk about standing on business, they don't even know what that means. Half of them can't even spell business. But the reality is I've been standing on business for 25 plus years on doing what's right versus what's wrong. Despite the color, despite the age, despite the gender, the fact of the matter is when you deal with people directly and you treat them with respect and dignity, safety and direction, you should be able to get that response back to you. But essentially, that's not what was happening. So when they would bring that, their agent said, I would explain to them in real time, like I said, when do you make the last decision for yourself? and help them understand at 24, 25, 27 years old, it is a shame how far you got right now in your own life that you're leaning on somebody else who don't even pick up the call to speak to you. Just the facts, not the process. So when that started happening, I had to figure out a way to literally accelerate their processes, understanding the scope of all things went through, because I wanted to be in the NFL as well. And so I'll go back from experience and go back to seeing things a certain way, as I said earlier, being understanding and knowledge of what happened in real time, processing it, not just taking an answer in without asking a question back, even through my playing career, whether it's so if a coach or a GM said something to me, or one time I was playing and I got injured and one of the organizations told me I had to stay in the state that I was in versus getting light duty in the state that I lived at where our workers cop. I said, I don't know who you guys are talking to, what you think this is, but I know I can leave and I know you're going to pay because I have a physical therapy place out there. You're going to pay me to go back where I came from so I can work and earn. And you're going to pay for the workers comp based off the laws and the rules afforded to us under this collective body in this league. Never seen nothing like that before, and that's fine. I've been in places with the coaches in the middle of the night in arena when we practicing 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night, when during the day they had us with sledgehammers, banging down walls, literally banging down walls with sledgehammers, without any license, carrying boulders while trying to be professional athletes, and then having practice at midnight talking about you guys got to pay rent.
What was this at? I mean, you know, it's a long time ago, so you can share about, you know.
There was no Match Vegas before, again, the players rep. We helped build that block. That block where the Verizon Center is, where the WWE goes, that one block in Manchester, Match Vegas, that didn't exist back in 2003, 2004. So those buildings had to be built. And when they brought the players in, essentially that, and again, Rick Richards, like I said, it's going to be a name type of scenario. This man was literally 2 years older than me, and he was calling us kid. Hey, kid, I'm not your kid. The disrespect and the lack of respect thereof, because you had the title coach, you met the wrong one. But they traded me at 1 a.m., literally, after I told all the coaches, we ain't paying no rent. I said we, because like I said, I represent the players. That's kind of how this leads to everything down the road. Because the bottom line is paying rent to them, mind you, we're working essentially illegally. Because everybody got a problem with illegal workers. They have a problem with us with live wires and sledgehammers beating down the wall. The same team called the league and said, we don't want Robert Green, who was traded to Albany Conquest, to come back and play against Manchester. He's going to be arrested because he didn't pay rent. The league politely told him, you will not be arresting Robert T. Green because you ain't no right to collect rent from whatsoever.
Yeah.
And he's going to come back. And he played. And again, I played and I was defensive player of the game and beat them. So before I became the official players rep outside in business, these things were happening in real time. That literally, I was always advocating standing for. It wasn't a curse you out type of thing. It wasn't like I'm disrespecting you type of thing. I was never late for practice. I was always on time. I always stayed early. I came early and stayed late. I was always a team captain. You just wasn't gonna walk over me and pretend like you got some over me when I'm the one generating revenue for you. That was never gonna happen. And as I continued to evolve my thought process and my mindset, I started to speak to guys. And again, I found that it was groups, 12, 24, hundreds of guys that have been around. And I listened, I talked to them. And after they no longer played, they couldn't carry a conversation outside of football for 30 seconds. For 30 seconds. We spent, and we're talking business terms, 19 to 20 years to accomplish a dream from the get-go. With all the people around us talking about trust the process. And we couldn't even hold a conversation as a college-educated athlete for 30 seconds outside of the game that we played. It was crazy. It was heartbreaking. And I essentially said, you know what? I got to do something. And so what I did was I started formulating a plan about business. We could talk about race relations in sports all day long, but at the end of the day, what the bottom line is about business. So that's where the hashtag sports is all business came about. And then when I was trying to formulate the plan for my IP when it came to my company, I essentially talked about how this was actually going to work, as I said earlier, accelerate the process. So pre and post, as an athlete, we know that our most important part of our game was the pregame. 99% of us actually do the same thing over and over and over again. But it's not just because we're comfortable in it. It's because that's all we know.
Yeah.
So that I said before, not making our own decisions was the part of the pre. After the fact, not having an actual understanding and knowledge who we work, what we're going to do next was the post. But then, like I said, the game came from that standpoint. That's what we were doing. We were part of the game. We was just the ones that pawns in it. We wasn't really set up to really succeed in it. We were just going through because, like I said before, in a business model where you have a draft and recruit process every single year, at the end of the day, and all you had to give us essentially was some type of stars, fictional stars, or helmet stickers to go out there and risk millions after blowing out our knee and risk management. I really knew I had to start from the beginning. I couldn't basically do a business where guys are 19 and 20 because of the indoctrination phase, really not understanding who they are and making uninformed business decisions started way before that. It goes back to the youth sports level and AAU level. And again, when you talk about sports trafficking, all these guys go through this entire process from the start to the finish. They all end up at the same place. And so that's what the pre-post game was. And the pre-post game was directly for each individual person, just like you being the ball hawk, who created your own entity, your own branding, and then had Petty Hawk as your alter ego, which we do over here pre-post game as well. So a mod can be a mod, but then at the same time, when you are an athlete, particularly a minority athlete, many guys struggle with being 6'2", 6'3", strong, big, aggressive, because in the real world, the public sector, a lot of people don't hire based off of that. I work with guys that are 6'5", plus, and explain to them, like, we really got to work on understanding how you can do public speaking, understand your purpose, because at the end of the day, no one is going to hire your 6'5" self, 330 pounds, to be behind a cubicle. Not necessarily because you're not a nice guy, because you don't smile. You've been taught to do one thing one way all your life, and now people just are afraid and not comfortable in that space. So if we talk about like Rashawn Gary, particularly 6'5", 278 pounds. Rashawn Gary is a great young man, polished, public speaking. All these things have been proven and shown. Highest rated recruit ever in high school football. Only player to ever enter sports as his own sports entity. Understanding business, but Ben Gary's nothing to play with. Ben Gary will knock you out. But the reality is, Ben Gary only got a certain amount of time on that football field. Rashawn has way more to do in life and way more to learn and grow and understand besides football. And those same people through this entire process, we know, numbers show, are not going to be there. From a psychological standpoint, it's so jacked up that even from a team, we call it the team, you go from team to next man up in a matter of seconds. The brain is underdeveloped with people that you trust the process on to go from, hey, you're a team player, welcome, we recruited you here, now saying next man up is extremely debilitating, going back to what I went through as a kid before those things. So reality is, I didn't want to see those same things continue to happen. And we created an entire business model infrastructure to actually ensure that we were educating yesterday, empowering today, and protecting tomorrow.
And you just brought up Rashawn Gary. Is he considered a linebacker or a pass rusher for the Packers? He got paid like a pass rusher.
He's a football player. So now, obviously, they go into a 4-3 defense. So he played as a defensive tackle in high school. He went to defensive college. He got drafted as an outside linebacker in the NFL in the 3-4 system. The reason why I mention all that, because once again, when I talk about being the player's rep, not only do we do business, but I know the game, all of the games, better than most. So I can have a conversation with the player and can relate to them and understand and speak to them and put them in positions, whether it's through training, whether it's through development on the athletic field or even in the classroom, understanding what you're seeing on the field in the scheme, whether it's cover two, cover six, cover one high, Xavier McKinney, do all of that. Lots going on between my ears. But the reality is, if the player can understand that, then how they understand it relates back to them, he and they are able to accomplish whatever they want to accomplish because they set up for success from day one.
Yeah, and I asked that question because just recently you see the Cowboys sharing, communicating that Micah Parsons is now considered a defensive end and not a linebacker. So that, like, when I asked a question like that, I was like, to a novice fan who don't know, like we know, we understand why they put those tags on players because they want to control the pay. When it comes to contract time, what are you viewed as? And like you said, he's just a
football player. So give me some free advice out there, because once again, the difference between Micah and Rashawn is Rashawn is 275 pounds. Micah is not. So when you're talking about contract situations, regardless of the fact, the game has a number of reps in your body. And so injuries are part of football and sports. So the fact of the matter is, you know, bigger, faster, stronger means something. And you also know there's a lot of times in the game when it comes to how pay is dictated to, when coaches call certain plays, certain schemes, and everybody's been complaining and talking about it from the running back market. But like I said, on your podcast, I tell you today that Zeke signed his contract. He was never going to see the light of day on that. And I broke that down.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, people didn't understand what I was talking about. and just that fast when it was Zeke when they first did it, you don't even know his name. Most people come into the league now that's actually running backs don't know who he is. That's how fast it happens. So when you sign contracts for a certain number and you allow certain media pundits to go out there and talk about how great, how big it is to point towards certain organizations, those same media pundits will turn around and go back and say, hey, let's go back and see all those contracts agent such and such did and how that really play out, since they care so much about the athletes in there and their longevity so much so. But that's not how it really is. We know what this is. It's set up to make it look a certain way for the first, so the ones behind you don't know no better can follow through the same path and have the same result over and over and over again. That's also called insanity. Because it's simply, when you talk about the running back market, when I said about Aaron Jones in particular, 3 years ago when he first took the pay cut, when he was at the top of the league value, when I said, as the players rep, because again, somebody asked me that question, who you rep? Every player. Mm. Even though a lot of players shouldn't be rep by me, because they're not doing things the way they're supposed to as a professional on the field. However, their business interest has never been at the forefront of society. It never has. And besides the fact that we come from off of a pandemic in 2021 and pre-post game been here since 2015, off of a pandemic where businesses are going out of business, money is scarce and tight, when same coaches were telling kids and their families when myocarditis is out there, they can go out there and the only men's basketball and women's basketball and men's football, coaches can't be there, students can't be there, faculty can't be, but the players can be there in the pandemic playing for what? Oh, again, there's scholarships, not understanding financial aid, not understanding FAFSA, not understanding how this really was set up from 1906 and 1905 between W.E. Du Bois and the Brown versus Board of Education. I'm not going to go off too much of a tangent, but when I said before, I want people to understand, when I did what I did, I understand the full scope of how we got here. So when I understood that, I knew exactly what to do to get us here today. And I wanted to make them know that I'm the reason for it. And I'm the only reason for it. It's not your congressman. It's not Nick Saban. It's not Coach Pass's prime. It's not your high school elite coaches. It's not the five stars. So every athlete is collecting a quote-unquote NIL check. They don't understand what a CPA is. You're welcome, but then you're not. Because the reality is that money has to be taxed. And if you keep collecting without paying and don't have the right people around you, you're going to cost you in the long run. And so essentially, I don't want to see that happen. But as I said before, when I talk about sports is all business, you got to understand everything that's going on around you is not what meets the eye. Mm.
So let's get to pre-post game. And we talked about Rashawn. Was Rashawn like your first client, or was he the first client that pre-post game really was set on the map? Like, how did that marriage come about?
Great question. And all your audience will appreciate this. No, Rashawn wasn't our first client. But the reality is, at the time that we went after Rashawn, like I said, I'm a businessman and one that understands what needs to happen. I had no time to waste, had no time for someone to talk about, well, yeah, that's great. You did that with that kid. What about this kid? At that point in time that we recruited Rashawn Gary, and I can't talk about what we do recruit.
Yeah.
We recruited based off our value proposition. We didn't have any referrals. I didn't know his mother. I didn't know any of his family members. We ain't from the same bloodline. I didn't coach his youth football team. None of the above. I came to the young man and his parent and said, this is what we do here. This is how we get you from here, 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 and here. And essentially said day one, if nothing that I say isn't true, the day of, never speak to me again. Well, 11 years later, highest paid player in Green Bay Packer defense history, as well as the University of Michigan, as his own sports agency. The first player to ever trademark his name and his actual IP in college was done on the pre-post game. Essentially, I would say we got it right. And so that was the point. The point was I was doing these things with other people. And essentially, when we wanted to roll it out, talking about the development stage, Sean was 16. And essentially, through our pre-post game academy, Sports Business Accelerator, asking a simple question, like I ask anybody, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Hold on. Simple question. So you had an academy?
Yeah, we had pre-post game academy. So the first Sports Business Accelerator. So I got a nice little quote that I say all the time. I said, you never know if pre-post game is in a room, but the player's rep is always in the cloud. Mm. And what that means is that I've been using SaaS, software as a service, cloud technology, 12 years. As you know, I have AI, my own AI and things of that nature. So talking about development, understanding where the world goes next, when we, as pre-post game, our checks and balance system. So we never told anybody, including Rashawn or any other client, don't speak to that person, don't speak to this person. We had simply told them and helped them understand what they were trying to accomplish and taught them how to conduct the interview process. Case in point, any athlete right now that is a first round pick, and this is, I'm giving this free game. Mm-hmm. Any agency that you're going to sign with right now, no matter what they're talking about, in a sense, because pre-post game was responsible for y'all get NIL checks, it shouldn't be a problem anymore. Because back in the day, what agents would do, they would basically take the money that they had already, they would throw it at you, the bag.
Yes.
And they will get you on the front end, they're going to get it from you on the back end because you don't understand the contract that you're signing and the numbers and the language that you're signing. But the only thing you did was you signed, you saw somebody else sign. But the person that asked you to sign, told you to sign, was telling you to tell you to do that because they was getting a referral kickback fee by making you do that.
Yep.
That's the fact, the process. But you never asked that question because that was your boy. That was your frat. That was your homie. So at the end of the day, all these things that literally what we did was basically from a checks and balance system, we taught from the beginning, self-worth, mental health. I'm happy and prideful to say that no one was speaking about mental health when it came to athletes before me. So when I talked about what are the main reasons why, again, my background with intellectual development disabilities and crisis interventions and things of that nature, as a mandated report. See, I'm saying all these words. I've been in the room.
That's educational terms. You're putting out there, mandated reporter.
Exactly. I've been everywhere. So when I talk and speak on things, I'm so versatile in what I've done. I don't find anybody that's from a representation standpoint that can do or say what I've done. So when I take these things and I put it in perspective, and then essentially we go back and say, well, you know, you literally shouldn't been able to do certain things without having a checks and balance in that. No one was ever presented that to these players, these athletes. So when you say something to them, they had an academy, they had a reference point, they had an example to basically check the person that spoke to them. So once again, going back to those agencies, those agents, if an agent says, oh, we definitely want to represent you, and they say, hey, ask the question. So what round am I going to be in? Oh, you're definitely a first round pick, definitely. Okay, now. Next question from the interview process. Tell me what your value proposition is for me without mentioning anybody else you work with. Because I'm Matthews. I'm Rashawn Gary. I'm not Matthew Stafford. I'm not a quarterback. Don't tell me about representing this guy and this guy and this guy. Tell me what you're going to do to help increase my value. Since you just told me before I compensated you, I'm already a first round pick with no doing of yours whatsoever. Crickets. So when you ask that question about why I went about doing it, because I wanted to make a simple point. The best there is, and the best there was, and the best there will be. Chicken from the hitman heart. So for everybody that wanted him at that time, Nick Saban, Apple Sweeney, and everybody else, all the way up, Rosenhaus Sports, the athletes first, the everybody else, they making their pitch. Clearly their value proposition wasn't good enough. And that, and you go 6 years later, as I said before, where people should know also as well that Rashawn Gary has the highest signing bonus as for a non-quarterback in NFL history. From a non-quarterback that's African American, let me change that. He's third behind Joey Bosa and T.J. Watt. Oh, by the way, Rashawn never had 10 sacks, never made the Pro Bowl. But what he does have that no one else has is professional development. What he has, no one else has, is character. What he has, no one, he's not out there, again, representing an organization like the Green Bay Packers, basically putting things out there every day that literally can basically devalue the organization that he works for as an employee. Mind you, he has his own company as an owner as well. So he understands that. Rules of engagement. Go past playing the game. And the fact of the matter is, in 2024, we have taken 10 steps backwards with the representation in this space. I'm talking about coaches. I'm talking about sports agents. I'm definitely talking about these collectives and NIL that does not exist. Because the fact of the matter is, without the athlete bringing value to those people, what value, as I said before, are they bringing to them? There is none.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.